God Almighty.
It makes me think about, that makes me think about people that,
come on, man,
that you may view or others may have viewed as being nothing.
That's it.
As being equated with dust or comparable to dust.
That's right.
Are you able to look at a person
That's right.
on the street and see yourself?
That's right.
See a reflection of God?
That's right.
Are you able to speak life into that person, to vitalize them, to quicken them? Are you able to see that?
That's right.
Because, oh my God, I've never seen that dust principle. Able to look at it, see himself, give it dominion, give it life, vitalize it. The thing is, man, there's so many people that have been deemed or viewed as being nothing, as being worthless, as being dust. People that pass them, or even the corporate elites walk over them all the time to get up a little higher. So the thing about it is, are you able to take that, being an extension of God and aware of your divinity? Are you able to speak life into them? Are you able to quicken them, vitalize them, rejuvenate them? Make them mindful and aware of their own divinity.
Keep blowing. Keep blowing.
That's so powerful.
That's right.
That's so powerful. It's because we are extensions of God.
Mm-hmm.
Everything, if you really look at it close, everything, you can walk away with the principle.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can extract wisdom for everything that he did.
Mm-hmm.
So are we able to do that? Are we able to have that intuition, to be able to have that discernment? People walk past him every day.
That's right.
But I see the deep in him.
That's right. God,
that's powerful, brother. That's powerful, man. That's powerful. And even some of us may have been viewed as being unworthy, being nothing. So many kids, even in my own neighborhood, I've heard it so many times. You're gonna be just like your daddy. You ain't gonna amount to nothing. You ain't gonna be nothing but a drug dealer, a thief, a robber, end up in jail. How many people have spoke death? How many people have that discernment, that awareness, to be able to speak life or something that was consumed by death, or that had death all around it?
Thus,
are you able to speak life or two? The Word became flesh.
What I did, yeah. You should be blowing your breath into. And that's what I think the transition of the Bible really is. It's the breath of God. It's God inspired. And once we get it in us, we have that same breath to breathe out and cause things to have a living self.
I like that breath. That's powerful.
That's powerful. That's powerful.
What didn't have a soul and was only a shell becomes a living soul once God breathed in you. God in you, breathing in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory.
Man, I clearly see that, man, in our music, man.
That's right.
That's it.
Allowing the breath of God to go over the beats, to go over the drums, to go over the instruments. Allowing that breath of God to cover. I see that, man.
Right.
I see that, man. It's powerful.
It's kind of funny, man. The reason why I'm looking at your shirt, man.
I saw that too.
You got something powerful in your shirt, man.
Yeah.
It was so spiritual, man. I did. Y'all speaking out of what I see, man, in that shirt, man. It's some being or some spirit or whatnot, man. It looks like a part of a mountain that I see on the bottom of it, man, and I see him blowing the grass of breath over the lands on this side. On that side, man. I saw that, man. That's powerful, man.
Never looked at it like that, bro.
That's right.
I see that, man.
Because what we're speaking becomes the manifestation. See, God knew what conversation we would have and knew what shirt you put on.
You, do you see that really? You didn't notice that?
Yeah. Now that you say it, yeah, I can. Yeah.
And I like what it says by the numbers.
Oh.
Because I'm just looking at it. They're numbered. It's ordered.
That's so powerful, man.
That's right.
I look at it. That's deep, man. That's why I was looking at your shirt like that, man.
That's right.
With your shirt.
With the lands, the waters, and everything, man.
Right.
You know, that's so powerful, man. And by he is the rock, man. That looks like a mountain. A mountain that won't move.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I just, the top of his head look like the mind of God. You see that? Looks like the true mind of God, right, man. Everything that is in
it.
That's something, man. How you can, you really, you know, by having the substance of God, man. You know, one thing definitely, I have definitely learned, man. You can be able to see God in everything, man.
That's right.
So simple like that, man. Be able to see God in it, man. In the mix of it, man.
That's right.
People, things, whatever, man. Be able to see God in the presence, man.
That's powerful.
And that's so powerful, man. And that's where God wants us at, man. To be able to see his nature, man. To really know him. Because a lot of people know of him.
That's right.
But do not really know him.
Know him. And how many know him?
Feel what I'm saying? That's a big difference, man. That's a big difference because knowing them is a relationship. You know, and that's so powerful, man. You know, one thing I think I told you or whatnot, man, I was reading, I forgot what scripture was in, but I was reading about Paul and Silas when they was locked up, man.
Come on, man.
And reading as they was locked up, man, you know, chained down from their ankles and through all the situation and the commotion that was going around, man, their mind wasn't on their situation. It wasn't on the things that was around them, man. Their mind was on God. You feel what I'm saying? I take something like that, man. You know, something that is in the dark. You know, they be able to see God in it, man. That's so powerful, man. That's where God want us at, man. That's where God want us at, man. Even in through the darkness that we go through, man.
That's right. Sometimes God puts us in those fixed positions because it's not so much that he's binding us, but he's allowing us to be bound. And even as Paul Silas was bound in that situation, because God wanted to move everything else around them. He didn't want to break them out of the prison.
Come on.
Wanted to break the whole prison. So in order to break the whole prison, he has to put them in the prison. And what's so powerful about that is the Bible said they actually threw them in the innermost prison. They were actually in the spot of a prison we would call today a solitary confinement. They threw them in the very heart of the prison.
That's it.
But God put him at the very heart of the prison so that the whole prison might break open. That's powerful. That's powerful.
That's something, man. That's something, man.
Right.
That's so powerful. If our minds can get off the surroundings, man.
That's right.
You know, if our minds can get off the surroundings, man. And to be able to take the mind of God, man. You know, by taking the mind of God, man, having the mind of God, man, it's like you never knowing what is going around you, man.
because you're only looking this way. You know, I never know what's going on the right side of you. Never know what's going on the left side of you, man, because you're not bothering either one of them. You're too focused on what you're looking at, man. That's so powerful, man.
And something that's so powerful to me, man, is that just as Jesus was in the garden in John 17, and with his mind not centered on the circumstances or the situation that was near him and around him, but actually keeping his mind focused on God, he actually transcended time. So therefore, to me, man, when we have that mindfulness and that wisdom that teaches us to keep our mind focused on God.
That's it.
That's right.
That's it.
We're able to transcend time. When you keep your mind on eternity,
that's it.
You transcend time. Because of circumstance. See, everything in the world is passing.
That's right.
Everything
is passing.
So even your circumstance that you may be in time is passing. Is passing.
That's right.
So therefore, when you keep your mind on eternity, everything else passes.
That's powerful. That's powerful.
You know what I'm saying, man?
That's right.
That's powerful.
And that's so powerful, man. And that's where I feel our strength comes from.
Yes.
Our endurance comes from. What gives us the ability to overcome comes from. When we're able to see past this and see to eternity.
That's it, man. That's it.
That's so powerful, man.
That's
so powerful, man.
Oh, my.
That's powerful. You know, because I look at it just as a physical stone, man. I used to think that the storm, when it occurs, it stays, you know what I'm saying, until it's over. But what it's doing, it's passing through, you know, from the rain or hail or snow. The clouds are steady moving, even though if you don't see any clouds, they're steady moving. So it's passing really through. It's never just standing still. And that's so powerful about it. And that's how I look at it when you said something, you know, about our situation, our trials and tribulations, man. Man, keeping us, keeping our eyes on God, focusing on God, man. That time, the physical time, is passing through. We be on the phone, we be in our conversations, man. The time just rolling, man. You feel what I'm saying? That's so powerful, man.
And it's so powerful. And I see two scriptures that really stick out in my mind, man. When they say that we look not to those things that can be seen.
Come
because
on.
Those things that can be seen are temporal.
That's right.
But we look to those things that cannot be seen.
That's right.
Because those things are eternal.
Eternal.
So therefore, if you can see it, it's passing.
That's right.
If you can see it, it's temporal.
That's right.
Temporal. But those things that cannot be seen.
That's right.
So therefore, what that scripture is really saying is that.
Break it down.
We should focus. We should central our thoughts and our attention on the unseen.
On the unseen.
On God.
Come on.
And also, man, I can tie that with the joy of the Lord is our strength. And you can
not
even,
at ease,
and you can even see that in the natural, because when you're with a group of people that you love to be with, and you guys fellowship and you enjoy each other's company,
that's
and you
right.
have fun, what happens is time passes so swiftly. You can be together 4 hours and it may feel like 10 minutes. So therefore you can actually be in a storm for a year. But with you having joy in the Lord,
that's it.
What happens is it transcends time. It actually goes beyond the natural laws of time.
That's powerful.
It's just like right now, we're sitting and conversing, and if there was a terrible storm going on outside, could have been going on for 4 hours, but the whole time we were in conversing, and the storm never struck our attention, or the storm really never bothered us, or affected us, because of the joy that we had amongst one another. So the joy of the Lord, the joy of the Lord is your strength, because no matter how much time your storm is, the thing about it is, it's going to feel to you as being brief.
That's something.
Because the joy of the Lord, you know, like I said before, I believe that it transcends time. It goes beyond the natural laws of time. You may be in something. That's just like sometimes you can be at work, and you can be like, you be having fun with your coworkers. Like, dang, the day don't went by fast. But then somebody else who's really, you know, been in a bad mood, God, it's taking forever for the day to go fast.
That's like, it.
You know what I'm saying? You can be in a situation, and another person can be in the same situation, and you can continue to smile. Continue to have joy.
That's right. That's right.
You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
And then, you know, to really tweak what you were saying, man, you know, like my cousin, man, spent 12 years locked up, man. And one thing he told me, for his years to go by so quickly, man, he never paid attention to the date, the time, the year. He always kept his mind focused, if it's in reading or if it's in writing. Them 12 years, he said it felt like five. And that's so powerful, you know, because I do it at work. You know, any time when you to the point you're anxious, ready to go, or looking at that clock, it's going so slow. Because your mind is actually focused on the surroundings. You know what I'm saying? Not on just going by living, just living. And that's so powerful about that, man. We can be able to get our mind off the surroundings, man. You know, that time would just pass right on by. Pass right on by. You know, that's what they say, you know, you locked up, do your time. You feel what I'm saying? Don't let the time do you. That's powerful.
Let's examine that, Carlo.
That's something.
Let's examine that, man. Let's kind of just peel the onions. So therefore, in actuality, the mind makes one what a person focuses their mind on. It actually makes them either aware of time, or if they focus on something else, it could make them unaware of time and make a situation or a circumstance appear to go by so briefly. let's break that down, man. What are your thoughts on that, Carlos?
I mean, it's really what we have discussed even before. I mean, time only marks all passing away. You know, a person that looks at time, you know, it's like we said before with money. Money actually redeems time. You know, because if you have money to do, you have time to do. Because you don't have to spend it doing something else. But the thing about it is, money is the power to get things. You know, and the reason why I'm tying that into is because, and even while y'all talking about, thinking about that scripture where Jesus was saying that a man's life consists not of the abundance of things. And if you tie that into the Proverbs where it says money answereth all things, then you tie it into the New Testament statement of Jesus saying that a man's life consists not of the abundance of things that you possess. So the thing about it is that if we didn't spend so much of our time to acquire things and spend our time more or less enjoying the moments in which we're in, that's time powerful. Would be insignificant and irrelevant.
That's powerful.
That's powerful. That's so powerful.
Because we're only so conscious to time as much as we're looking at what we possess.
That's powerful.
And what I didn't get to possess because I lost that time. Or what will I possess if I gain this time, if I have time to do that? So that's what sort of gets us into that jargon of always, to me, always looking at time, you know?
That's powerful.
Because the thing about it is, you think about it, if this becomes the power of thought to everybody that's really attaining the spirit, is that you come from the perspective that time becomes irrelevant.
Mm-hmm.
The closer you get to God.
Mm-hmm. That's powerful.
I know I'm going off into some places here, but that's what's so powerful about thought.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's so powerful about light. And why are you throwing all these things, thought, light, different things like this? Because you know what Albert Einstein was saying, the closer you get to going the speed of light, time actually slows down. And if you went the speed of light, time wouldn't exist at all.
Mm-hmm.
So you think about that. If we equate light to being the God,
that's powerful.
And if you start living in a moment where time is irrelevant to you, then you're actually moving at the speed of light.
Oh, that's it. God.
That's powerful.
Ooh.
That's powerful.
You understand what I'm saying?
Oh, my.
You're moving at the speed of light.
That's powerful.
You're moving at the speed of light. You're no longer in the world. You're no longer world. You're no longer, you know, you love the world, but you're not of the world. This is not. You understand what I'm saying here?
Mm.
You actually cross over into a moment where you're not marking your passing or not marking the days in which things can be accomplished. You're actually just in the moment. And in that moment becomes that moment for you.
Mm.
And you slow time down to the point, because the thing about it is, it really becomes irrelevant.
That's powerful.
You know?
Mm.
Because we're always talking about what we're going to be in God. And God has come from the position of, it's not what you're going to be in me, it's what you are in me.
Mm.
Because God, unlike us, don't have the luxury of don't have the luxury of waiting. Because where he is, it is. There is no waiting.
That's it.
You know? That's one of the paradoxes in scripture. And in Christendom, that's one of the paradoxes. Some people said, I'm waiting to get to him. How can you wait to get to him if he's in a place where there is no waiting?
Wow.
How can he be waiting for you to come to him?
Oh God!
If there is no time for him to wait, he can't. He ain't like you in the operating room. He waiting.
On come on now.
That's for him, the operation is over.
Oh,
it's complete. God. You are completing him. You are healed. You are. Are you?
Ooh. Oh my!
Ooh.
That's powerful.
That's why some things with Christ you had to leave alone, because people don't understand. See, we got some people trying to say we're going to do his greatest. The thing about it with him was, he pulled you into his dimension.
Mm.
So therefore, if your hand was withered, like the man with the withered hand, he could say stretch it forth. Because he wasn't coming where you are. He was bringing to you where he already had you.
Oh.
And that was a complete state of the spirit. So he was only catching the natural up to the spirit. And therefore, it made you whole. So therefore, why he will always say, just believe.
That's it.
Because you're only believing what's already there.
There. Oh.
And see, the power of it is this. That's a whole other topic. Woo! We really don't need to get into this. We in open heaven and you guys can hear it. No. So somebody here on earth can say it. That's what's so powerful about that's what's so powerful about the situation regarding salvation. If it's a fact of acknowledging and believing, then you're believing something that already exists. whether you saw it or not. But what gives it power is that you believe. But whether you believed or not did not negate the fact that it was there before you believed.
Oh my God.
That's something.
And that's what's so powerful about a mystery. A mystery is not something that is hid.
Come on now.
Or doesn't exist. It's a mystery just because you don't know it is there. Mm. It was there the whole time. Mm. But becomes mystery and hidden. Not because it's hiding. It's because you're hid. Mm. You don't know that it exists. But it was there the whole time.
There the whole time. That's powerful.
You know, not aware.
That's a mouthful, buddy.
That's powerful. That's why time becomes suspended when you're talking about him. He suspends time.
That's it.
And David, that's why when Moses came down from the mountain, they could have looked into his face and seen the end of all things. He wanted to bring about salvation then to them. Because what they did not understand is that the blood was slain before the foundation of the world. So we don't have to wait for him to get on the cross in order for you to move into the effects of what has already been accomplished.
Some people can't hear that, brother. But I heard it.
Man. It's a lot of examples. That's right.
That's it.
That's right. That's when Jeremiah said, I can't go. I'm too young. I can't go. He said, what are you talking about? Because he was waiting on age. I haven't come to 30 yet. When I get to 30, I can move and operate according to the law of God. I can move when I'm 30. And he said, what you don't understand is before you were formed in the middle of the womb, I knew thee. Before you were, he said, I knew thee and I had ordained thee and made thee a prophet. When did you do that? I did that before you were put into the womb. We had a relationship, an intimacy and a relationship. We had a conversation before you were put, before I formed you, before I decided that your mother was going to meet your father was going to meet your mother, before they put that music on and got into bed, I had already had a conversation that this was the vessels that you would come through. That you were going to be a prophet, so you can move according to that. It will trump the earthly law that I had established. Because there's an eternal law that's already moving. The only one that's not convinced is you. Because you're looking at things that are temporal.
Yes.
That are constantly moving. And not object to the spirit, which does not move and it's attained.
That's powerful, man. Ooh, that's powerful.
See, the only one that has deemed you, the only one that deemed you unworthy is you. Because you're still waiting to obtain.
Obtain, that's it.
You're still waiting to obtain. You're still waiting for righteousness. But the Bible says, them that he called, he also justified. And them he justified, he also sanctified. And them he sanctified, he glorified.
That's powerful.
So your calling and glorification were all one to eternity. But the time, it waited for the steps to accomplish what was already known.
Man.
That's powerful, man.
But in Krishna, we separate the calling from the glorification. We can't see the two.
scriptures that looks, you know, off the top of your head, man. I got to program that one in my mind, brother. You know,
it's scripture. Let me get that for you.
I got the program. Yeah,
when you talk to me about that time, you talk about something. Time is a created event. It was created. Just like the earth was created. Mm-hmm. It's a created. So therefore, if it has a beginning, it has an end. Mm. It's nowhere near close to anything we can call eternal. Mm. Because it begins and ends. Time was created. It was, it's spoken existence. Just like darkness was. It's created. It's created. It's not. Therefore, it will one day end. Mm. Ceased. Mm. And I have to be careful even when I say that, because there is a place in which it has already ceased. We just haven't come to the end of time.
That's something. That's something.
Boy, we in some heavy waters now. But
you in some heavy water.
Woo! That's so powerful, man. Ooh. That's something.
Seems crazy though. I'll make sure I get the right scripture for the principle.
You ever been on YouTube, man, and trying to play something? And just say that your the signal's weak or whatever's wrong with the buffering, mm-hmm. and you know it plays it, and then you have the sometime, you know, it doesn't happen with good signal, but pretty much like on my computer or whatnot, it's like the time is trying to catch up where the I want to say the video is at. You know what I'm saying? That was so powerful when he was speaking about that, man. Because it's like it's always trying to, on my computer, it's always trying to chase after where the play is at until it catch up and then it stops. That was so powerful. You know what I'm talking about, right? When you got like a slow computer, man. And you got like the time, you know, your audio can be way, you know what I'm saying, playing right there. Then you got your time just tracing. You know what I'm saying? I was just thinking about that, man. That was powerful, man.
It's powerful. When you think about time being a created event, and that time isn't even a fraction of what eternity is. And when you think about that, scientists say that the world, the earth itself, is more than 4 billion years old. Therefore, time not being a fraction of eternity, you can look at that as 4 billion years, not even being a fraction of the age of God. This is no beginning of days.
That's it.
No ends of life. The ancients of days. You know what I'm saying? Can you even wrap your mind around something or a being or an entity not having a starting point?
That's something. Off.
Can you even wrap your mind around that concept?
Right? That's powerful.
Nothing begat him.
That's it. That's something, man.
He started everything.
That's it.
He's the beginning.
Jesus.
He is the beginning, but there is no beginning for him.
That's powerful.
That's powerful.
One of them is Romans 8 and 30.
Romans 8 and 30.
And there's one more. I gotta find the other one.
That's cool.
That's powerful.
And that's another thing that that kind of gets me about Christians, you know. Well, I wouldn't say that Christians, but the people who accept teachings without actually studying and searching the scriptures and actually allowing God to speak to them during their session of intimacy with Him. What I don't understand is in the beginning, they said in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And it talks about a lot of people feel like when they die, they're going to go to heaven. But my heaven is wherever God is. So therefore, if God had to create heaven, then where did He exist before He created
it? That's right. That's right.
You know what I'm saying? So therefore, heaven in my view becomes wherever He is.
That's right. That's right.
That's powerful.
That's right.
That's powerful.
That's right.
It's a whole nother vibe, boy.
That's right.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. There is a parallel. That's what Solomon said, the heavens of heavens cannot contain thee. That's a lot there. There's a lot there. There's a lot there. So when you when you look into the mind of the spirit, I'm gonna stretch it a little bit here tonight before we get
ready.
You know, just tweaking it off of what you just said. That's why there becomes problems and complications with the story of how Satan fell. Or did he fall? Or around that whole story when people say that he was the anointed cherubim that covereth. And he was in heaven. And he covered the glory of God. And he got caught up in his own deceit or conceit for wanting that same glory in which he saw. Oh my God. And therefore, the story goes in Christmas that God had to cast him out of heaven. Let me get up.
Man, you better keep going. You need to keep going.
I don't know if I can keep going.
Oh, man.
Because if you talk like you talk tonight, then that becomes fault lines within the story. Number one, if you really cover the glory of God in all of its splendor, how could you walk away with iniquity? How can God cast you out of His inhabitation? Come on here.
Getting in some deep water now, boy.
How could iniquity be found in a place in which there is no time? That is all-encompassing light. The fault lines in the story. See, Christians get too scared over here. I ain't more here. Oh, in the word of my head.
That's getting good, man.
Fault lines in the story. They say one third of heaven filled with him. Now, in the book of Revelation, they got that from the tail of the dragon. Tail. So with his tail, he drew one third of the stars of heaven. The stars were talked about to be the angels, and the tail of the dragon was to be his influence on them. The tail always having to deal with the serpent and the prophetic influence of the enemy, taking one third of the stars with him, and those stars fell to the earth. Talking about the angelic beings, and in the book of Genesis, chapter 6, said those angelic beings had slept with men, and they created an abominable race in which God created the flood and destroyed them. But there are fault lines within the story. And if you understand how eternity works and how God works, if you have a snapshot, not a full understanding, it's impossible to grab a full grasp. But even having a little smaller grasp, you have to ask yourself how You have to ask how things line up. You know, they say he was in charge of a choir. And this choir, they worship God, and he was the angel that covered the glory of God. He got caught up in his wisdom and his splendor. I think it's Isaiah chapter 14 where God talks about the king of Tyre. The spirit goes out of the king of Tyre and talks about this other person who was the anointed cherubim that covereth. And how he got caught up and said, I will exalt my throne above the throne of God. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. You get it up. Caught into a mixture. Was it Satan or was it Adam? You get caught in a, once you know how things work, you get caught in a vortex. You start seeing where, was it Satan or was it Adam? And if he was Lucifer and then turned Satan, that fell from heaven to earth. This Lucifer, this devil, this serpent that we have, who Jesus said, and when he talked about him, he said, you know, and I'm moving prophetically, I'm moving fast here, but I'm moving prophetically because you got to be careful when you talk about these type of things. He said that I beheld Satan fall as lightning to the earth. And when he said that he beheld him fail, that he failed as lightning. And he talks about his origin. He said, and then you can go back and research and look at it for yourself. Let's go back and do a little research on it. But when he talks about him, he said that he was a liar from the beginning.
Oh.
And what it means is that he was a liar from his original state. See, because you got to remember that.
That's powerful. That's powerful.
He said, the Bible said that if we take that to be Satan, then in the Old Testament, in Isaiah chapter 14, in Ezekiel chapter 12, I believe it's Ezekiel chapter 12, might be too, Ezekiel 43, where he says that that if we take that to be Satan, he was perfect until iniquity was found in him. He was perfect until iniquity was found in him. Then we have to ask ourselves where the iniquity came from. How does he create something outside of God?
Come on, man. Oh, man, you going in some deep water,
Let's
man.
Let's get out of here.
Me and my father told me. Oh, you going in some deep water, man.
You ever thought about that?
That's powerful.
How does he create iniquity?
That's impossible.
If iniquity never existed.
That's impossible. Yeah, that's powerful.
How does he in his heart create something that God never creates? Like, that is hidden from God.
That's what I'm saying.
How does he become the author of something that God doesn't author? When God has no beginning or end and he is created being.
That's wild.
So there are some fault lines there. There's some cracks in the story that we don't quite understand. Christians don't understand it. They understand the story in its context because it sounds humanly plausible.
Mm-hmm.
But when you take divine measuring sticks and put it upon the story, you start seeing the lines on the ground.
That's something. That's powerful. That's a mouthful, man. Oh, man. That's something.
Wow.
Who was talking about that, too? That's powerful.
Oh, that's weighty.
Just when you thought you heard something.
That's heavy.
Woo! Think about that.
That's heavy.
Things are not what they appear.
That's something.
How does he create iniquity? He was perfect until the day iniquity was found in him. And see, what happens, the scary part is that you could say the same thing about Adam.
Yeah.
He walked upon the stones of fire, it says in that verse. He was clothed with the glory. You can say the same thing about Adam, because Adam was clothed with the glory of God.
That's true. That's powerful.
Right. That's powerful.
See, when we start talking about Satan, we...
That's powerful.
There's one thing to have the embodiment angel of evil, and there's another thing with his influence. Because they do exist. Satan exists. Mm-hmm. And demonic beings exist. Mm-hmm. They exist.
They exist. Oh.
But who becomes a Satan to God becomes a gray area. We were talking about today. Peter in one revelation has, you're the rock. Son of Jonas, God bless you. Flesh and blood has got to be with you. Mm-hmm. But in the next couple of verses, he becomes Satan. Get the hint, Satan. The same one he said was blessed. Get the hint, Satan. I beheld Satan fall as lightning to the earth. So in the gray area of the spirit, and come to the spirit, it almost becomes muddied waters. Who becomes this Satan at the moment? Oh, let me get out of here.
That's powerful.
So who?
I want this.
Who?
I want to ask a question, man, but I don't think it's...
Woo! Just food for thought. Oh. Something, I'm putting this out there to make you think, to push you. That sometimes what you're looking at ain't what you're looking at. You got to break out of the box of your fairy tales and into the real true realm of the spirit.
I want to say something, man.
So it's not to confuse you, it's to push you. It's to say, woo.
I want to say something, man. I want to stop the table. I'm going to keep complaining, man.
You're scared.
Just, we was talking about this real matter of fact. Was talking about this 2 weeks ago, and in the back studio back there, man. And just one just suggestion, you know, ask.
Yeah.
Could the real Satan what I believe? That is no Satan that we was taught about to the point of a Satan of walking in the beings or whatnot. But I believe that Satan can be in the mind.
Right. What I mean?
When, I forgot what scripture is. You know, when I think I told you when it says, let this mind be in you. You know, when we speak negative thoughts, or when we speak this, when we speak, you know, any negative thing that is not of our character, man, that begins our, you know, that is our, to the point of our Satan, of our, you know, I believe that the Satan, the true Satan, can be in the mind, the confusion of the mind, man, of, you know. I don't think it's nothing to the point, something that is out there. It's something to the point, man, really, in the mind, man, because really, you know, we were just talking about that when, I think I told you, my God, my pops broke that thing down when he says, to love thy enemies. And he broke that thing down, and it was so powerful. And, it, you know, he was not only just talking about the people that we dwell with, we see every day. Mm-hmm. But he was talking about yourself. Mm-hmm. Because we as ourselves, we can be our biggest enemy. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And that was so powerful, you know. I believe that, you know, that Satan really can be in the mind, man, you know.
That's right.
Definitely be in the mind.
That's
you
right.
know,
that's right.
Just something
that's
just right. thrown out there, you know.
That's right.
Something just thrown out there because, right. you know, we can be, we've been taught, you know, Satan from, you know, from heaven and, you know, especially how you broke it down, man, and to the point of, you know.
And the reason why that becomes so powerful is because it's a lot of Christians, God bless them, just don't study. I mean, it makes me wow. Yeah. How much I used to not study. I mean, you know, but I see what studying has led me.
Yes.
Because the word Lucifer was really, a lot of people don't know what it was called. It was really, that word there was really light bearer.
Okay.
Before about 1400s, when the Vulgate Bible was created, they changed the name from light bearer to Lucifer. You see what I'm saying? And then when the King James Bible came along around the 1600s, they translated a lot of it from the Vulgate Bible. So Lucifer was really not a name of the original script.
Gotcha.
You see how important history can be.
That's something.
In playing a part into our, you understand what I'm saying? That's into our, because that's what Lucifer means. It means light bearer. You know? So the thing about it is that that's what I mean by history playing a part in how we do. Because you think about it, Lucifer now, in our age, is really a bad name. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. Nice, yeah.
But what Jesus said is, you're a candlestick, so you are a light bearer. And now, look how crazy this will sound. You are Lucifer. Let me get out of here.
Oh, man.
But because that word is so tainted now.
That's it.
You won't think of anybody calling you Lucifer.
Lucifer. That's something, man.
Because your mind has already got
has
into
already
a, not a one who bears light. Mm-hmm. Or a light bearer, which Jesus called you. But you have with it connected Lucifer and Satan.
Yeah.
And therefore, if I say Lucifer, the first thought you come to is the most evilest thing in the world.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. You are.
Just food for thought for tonight.
Yeah. I'm going to go back on what you said, man.
Throw something.
What you find there, Harry?
Come on,
hey.
Harry.
You know, like you said, the dimensions of life and death all reside in the mind.
Come on, man.
And it talks about that in Romans 8 and 6. For the carnal mind is death, but to be spiritual minded is life and peace.
That's powerful.
So therefore, these things can all dwell in the mind.
Say that again now. Come on. Read that one more time.
You know what I'm saying? It says that, Romans 8 and 6, it says that, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. That just sums it all up. That sums it all up, man.
Yeah, I gotta put that down.
That sums it all up, man. And
what would that scripture one more time?
Romans 8 and 6.
Yeah.
And it's powerful, man. And another thing,
I wanted
to throw out there, man, is
throw it on out there.
If I'm wrong, you know,
put it out there.
We still roll on tape.
You gave me wrong. In this atmosphere.
Be kind of careful with the way I articulate this.
Come on, man.
Now, in the book of Genesis, if you go to Genesis chapter 1, when it talks about, you know, the world was formless. It was in darkness.
Yeah.
Now that was the state that it was in before it was graced by the presence of the Lord. Mm-hmm. It was formless and it was dark. Mm-hmm. Okay. But then once you kind of flow on over a couple of books in the Bible, I think it's in the book of Isaiah, if I'm not mistaken, when it talks about that he createth darkness.
That's right.
And he forms light.
That's
okay. So now if the darkness was already there before he graced it with his presence, so then when it says that he created the darkness, then what is he talking about?
Come on, yeah, that's right.
Was he talking about the darkness of the world? Right. It couldn't have been that, the physical world.
Come on,
that, because it was already dark.
That's right.
Before he got there.
That's right.
So therefore, what is the darkness that it's referring to there?
That's right. That's right.
You know what I'm saying? That's so right. In my mind,
come on here.
Now, could the enemy himself, which we denote as Satan, the devil, a couple other names for him, but could that be the entity of darkness that was merely created? The difference between something that's created and something that's formed. Mm-hmm. Something that's formed goes through a process of change, mm-hmm. of development, of transformations. Mm-hmm. Something that's created becomes static. It's mm-hmm. programmed mm-hmm. for one specific thing. Mm-hmm. So therefore, the enemy could be in time repeating the same thing over and over and over again. Because he has himself been created to carry out a specific purpose. You see what I'm saying? So therefore, the enemy himself could just be something there that just like Carlos pointed out in one of the classes, is that every son of God has a serpent in his garden. Mm-hmm. Now, whether you have dominion or if you render dominion, that's all up to you.
Oh!
But every son of God has a serpent in his garden.
Come on, man.
So therefore the thing is, that serpent becomes the very thing that's that friction, that's that tension, that's that thing that kind of pushes you.
That's right.
So therefore, just like I think you pointed out before one time before Carlos, is that you never know you have dominion unless there's something to test that dominion.
That's right. That's powerful. That's it.
So therefore, the serpent becomes merely something that was created, that was programmed, that's static, that's there to test your dominion.
That's right. That's right. That's powerful. That's
powerful. You know what I'm saying?
I know exactly what you're saying.
I see
that. That's right. That's right.
That.
That's right.
That's powerful.
Right.
Just
and that becomes, just tag along with it, that becomes so powerful because that becomes the foundational text in which Jesus said he was a liar from the beginning, which is the original seed point in which he was created. His origin is that he is a liar, so he speaks of his own.
That's what I was tying that into.
That's
is that what you said makes a lot of sense, because when you really look at it from that
That's
perspective.
Right. It's the only one that doesn't have fault lines. And therefore will fall in line with light having darkness. By which it can shine in and through. Because when you look at the demons, they are, when you look in Jesus' time, when you look at the demons, they are more subject to him than humanity.
Oh my God.
Have you ever recognized that?
You got a point there, brother.
Have you recognized that? He walked, they really exposed who he was. Because they could see him for who he was.
That's
and
powerful.
Man couldn't.
Oh. You got to be careful who you let hear this tape.
Huh? They were more subject and obedient unto him than a Christian.
That's something. God.
You got to be careful, brother.
He said, and when he come upon them, he said, thou art the Christ. And the Bible said that he silenced them and forbade them not to speak. That's powerful.
Yeah, we know we're some places.
Yeah.
Ooh. Oh my.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God.
You gotta be careful with this.
I tell you, we done unveiled a mystery, boy.
You gotta be careful with this.
Oh,
go ahead, Tate.
Be like Yoda, Hunter, a dark place. This
go ahead, Tate. Some people may come after us and they hit his head. Oh, go ahead, Tate.
Right.
Oh.
That's right. Ooh. People don't understand the story got fault lines, man.
That's what I think I'm going to go back and do, man.
It's quiet in heaven. He's on it. You can put certain things there that might fit, but when you start really lining up, some things don't fit.
Fit now. Yeah.
How does he create something outside of God, man? You say, well, God is not the author of confusion. You're right. He's not. But the only one that's confused is you. Mm. Not him.
Ooh.
You can be confused or confounded.
Come on, man.
Oh! Man. I think that's what I'm going to do, though, man. All of these stories in the Bible that I've kind of accepted. You know what I'm saying? I'm really going to just go back
with the mind and the spirit
and do an exegesis study. Go ahead, Tate.
That's powerful.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
that's something, man.
You know, all of them.
Because it's like, you know, I think we was talking about it, man, that the truth is alive, man.
Ooh.
That truth is alive, man. And I think, to be honest with you, you know, it's bigger than this book. It's bigger than this, thing that we have here.
That's right.
Man. You know, one thing, and I think I told you what Sigler said, you know, he said, my life is not in this book. Yeah. It's not in this book. It's there for guidance, but it's not in that book, you know, and that's so powerful.
And what a paradox.
Come on, man.
It's the most sold book, but not the most read.
God, I got it.
It's the most sold book in the world.
It's
the most read book in the world.
Because when you look at it, Carl, almost every house that you go in,
come on,
may have about 3 copies of the Bible.
That's right.
But then you can also walk in a house and you can tell the spirit of the Lord.
That's right.
You can feel the spirit of confusion,
right,
of division,
that's
of
right,
contention.
That's right.
Even when you go into hotels,
that's right,
Bibles are right beside the bed.
That's right.
A lot of people don't be thinking about the Bible.
Come
that's
on.
Right. That's right. That's right.
That's powerful, man.
That's right.
That's powerful.
It's a lot.
Man,
it's right, a lot in there, man.
That's right.
And that's so crazy, man, is that I think that goes kind of what Paul was discussing, man, when he talks about him knowing, but how to perform, he knew not. You know, a lot of people know that the Bible contains the ingredients and the rich substance that I need in order for guidance, but they never take time to consume or make that word living in them. So therefore, the word in their house becomes stale.
That's right.
Dead.
Becomes
that's
dead.
That's right.
It never becomes alive because
right,
I feel like the word is something that has to come alive in you.
That's it. Right. That's the word.
Each
right,
individual,
that's
it
right,
must come alive in you.
That's right. That's right.
That's powerful.
You know
that's
what
powerful,
I'm saying?
That's right.
That's powerful.
That's right.
That's the only way it's going to
really be effective, man. Mm. You know, not by reading it. I think it's really, you know, it becomes that, you know, how actually Christ was that living word, man. Mm. You know, he is that living word, man. Mm. So, by reading the letter, man, by reading the word, when it doesn't change anything, it's only, it's dead, you know what I'm saying? So, I believe, man, but by me reading this Bible and getting a clear understanding.
Mm. Well, you said something.
You feel what I'm saying?
A clear understanding.
You know, a clear understanding, man, and applying it to my life, man. Mm-hmm. You know, I understand, you know, what the scriptures say. I become that word. You become that word.
That's right.
You become that word.
Let me get a little piece
that of that. That living word, man. Ooh. And that's more bigger than any letter that's in that Bible, man.
That's right.
It's more bigger than any letter that's in there, man.
And that becomes so powerful because if you read something and don't understand it, you never read it.
That's right.
Oh, come
that's
on.
Right. You never read it.
You never read
if
it.
If you hear and don't hear, you never heard it.
That's right.
If you see and don't see, you never saw.
Come on.
It never becomes effective. It never.
Come on.
Even if it's staring at you.
Exactly.
Ah.
Exactly. It never becomes truth. It never becomes alive to you. Because.
Come on.
Because the only way for you to really see truth, your perception must be adjusted.
That's right.
Your perception must be altered.
That's it.
You know, that's why they say perception is the ultimate reality, but not the ultimate truth.
Come on.
Ultimate truth.
So therefore, when you see something but don't see it,
the people
in the times of Jesus saw the truth but didn't see the truth. Their perception never changed, so therefore to them the reality was he's just a mere man. He's just a mere man. You know what I'm saying? With no type of divinity. He's not a God. He's not the Son of God. As a matter of fact, if you say that, we're going to stone. If you say that, we're going to kill you. And in actuality, we all know that's what they end up doing. Well, they killed his body, so to speak.
That's,
you know what I'm saying?
Powerful.
So therefore, man, that's... So truly what the Bible does is, when you really read it, and it becomes alive in you, what it does is it adjusts or alters your perception. Because what you thought was real,
come on, man,
it's able to allow you to see through that or above that to the actual truth.
That's right. That's powerful. That's powerful.
That's right.
So a lot of people then, the Bible is in their home, but since they don't never take time to really eat the word, and it become a part of them, their perception has never changed. So their reality is whatever or wherever they're at that.
That's right. That's right.
That's powerful.
That's right. So really, what happens is if you never attained it in time, what happened is you lived outside of reality.
Powerful. That's powerful.
Because really, what
that's powerful.
You break down truth. Truth means stability and reality. That's what it is.
That's powerful.
That's right.
That's what it is.
You're living outside of reality.
That's powerful.
You should ask a question. What's real in your life?
Oh!
What is genuinely...
Well, you sound like that cult when you said that, boy.
What is genuinely...
Don't ask no question like that.
That's powerful.
What is really certain in your life?
What is genuinely authentic in you?
That's so powerful, man.
That's true, baby.
That's powerful,
man. When you said that earlier about when y'all were talking about that understanding and reading, I mean, that's what's so powerful. People used to always give me about reading the book of Revelation, because he said, blessed is he that readeth and heareth and understandeth this prophecy. To me, what he was saying is over the whole book. Did you read it? Did you hear it? Did you understand it?
That's so powerful. That's so powerful. That's powerful.
Oh, man.
I
I definitely understand that, man. And one thing, you know, when, I definitely understand when the beginning of the book.
Hey.
When
hello, how you doing?
Hold on.
When Mark Hamill was talking about in the beginning of the book, man, about to the point of learning how to actually shoot that target. You feel what I'm saying? Your aim, the arch and the alignment has to be right. You know what I'm saying? To be able to, you know, to understand and get a clear, really clear understanding, man, of this word, man. Because a lot of people, alignment is not right when they're reading this word. Their arches is totally off when they're reading this word. It's more than just aiming at the target. Because every time when he aimed, he missed. You feel what I'm saying? Until he got guidance to know how to arch it and align it upright. And when he was talking about it, he was just breaking it down to the point of when he was taught, you know, the way how to hold a bone there, the way how to hold it under your chin, he started to hit closer to the target.
That's right.
Before, he wasn't hit near the target.
That's right. You better go knocking for it, right?
Oh! Go ahead, Lose.
Hey, you know what's so powerful? What's the mystery is? The mystery that's always for me is... is what got me here.
Oh.
What got us here? What got us around this table? What pushed us from where we were to where we're here? And that had to be the influence of God. See, what's so powerful about this conversation is we were going to have this and we were going to obtain the knowledge that we had. Whether we knew each other or not.
Come on now.
That's how much it was for us.
That's it.
You.
Oh. Come on.
You see what I'm saying?
Oh.
So this becomes only the reflection of what was already accomplished. That we thought we were in the driver's seat helping to accomplish, when really you were just along for the ride.
I like the way you said that, bro. That's powerful.
Oh,
that's powerful.
That's
that's so powerful.
Yes, it is.
You deemed it necessary for you to know these things from the foundation of the world. You would know it. This person might not know it, but you would know it. And then I know what Jesus said when he told the disciples, it is for you to know the mysteries.
Oh. Yeah.
That's right. Of the kingdom of God.
The kingdom of God.
To them that is not. That's the mystery of me. What locked you in, locked them out. We gotta go.
Oh.
He said, why ain't you out there explaining this to me?
Oh my God.
He said, it's for you. Using that personal program, it's for you to know. What locked them out locked you in.
Oh,
see, what you understand is that there's a door there that you entered into, but the only reason that you entered into it is because he chose you out of them. But if they don't exist, there's nothing to choose you out of.
That's so powerful.
That's powerful, Carlo. And that's powerful.
And that shows you the providence and the sovereignty of God, man.
Woo!
Come on, man. Because the thing is, nothing will occur outside of what
he's seen.
Nothing can occur to rupture his ultimate plan. And the thing about it, and that's so true what you said about some things are chosen for certain people.
Woo!
Because, man, I have literally, you know, invited, you know, my family members, some of my friends that I know here.
Me too.
Never came.
Never came.
You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
Maybe it could be.
And neither the circumstance by which they could even come. There's some that would love to come wherever we were going to be tonight. But tonight, we chose to be here. And God chose there would only be three of us to have what? Come on here.
That's something.
Say,
come on.
This would have came out if there was a multitude.
That's right. What locked you in? Locked them out.
Oh God, that's
powerful, man.
Like, oh, you don't know about it.